Hello everyone, welcome to Toonami Therapy, today on February 24th of 2022. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to, as usual, talk about some of the anime we've been watching, along with any some other things we might be watching. So, well, we'll get into it. We start, because I don't think there's any particularly big Toonami-related news to go over.
You're looking at me? I don't know.
No, it doesn't look like there is. Well, okay, there is one that might be. Apparently, the dub for the fifth season of Food Wars is going to be put on, is going to be available on HBO Max, in about a week. So, that means...
HBO Max? Like, when did they get into anime?
I don't know. They're going to be showing Blade Runner Black Lotus, too. They're getting that. I'm looking at the tweet. They've coming to HBO Max in March. This is stuff from Cartoon Network specifically, it seems to be. But there's Young Justice. That was, well, this is original to HBO Max, like the new season. Then you've got the Food Wars. They've gotten some stuff called Little Ellen. They're putting on Teen Titans Go, Victor and Valentino, and then Blade Runner Black Lotus, or so this says. But the one that we actually would care about is Food Wars. But I guess it means it's available. I don't know if it means it'll be on Toonami or not.
Yeah, I would think there would be a high probability it would be, but we'll see.
Yeah, because we know it exists now. We just don't know if it's something. Well, we know we already knew it existed, but we know it's coming out. We just don't know if something that's on HBO Max will be particularly friendly to putting it on Toonami.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the only big news I'm aware of that immediately relates to Toonami. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess there is one other thing, if it doesn't matter too much, but apparently the manga Fire Force, it ended like a few days ago. It's over now. It's done.
Mm. How many episodes did they have of Fire Force?
No, the manga, not the anime.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though. Like how many episodes did they have before they stopped?
The anime? Okay, yeah. There were 48 so far.
Okay.
We might get more later on to adapt more of the series, or maybe it'll just be one of those anime that just never adapts everything, and it's just, go read the manga if you want to find out what happens. So, you've gotten that? I guess there's... That's all we have to say about that. So we'll move on to the actual stuff. We'll move on to the show that I have been always calling Shenmue, but then I just suddenly noticed that on the commercials they call it Shenmue, so maybe I've been saying it wrong. Mm. Well, on Shen whatever, they in this episode 3, they managed to... He manages to decipher the letter, which tells him to go get help from this guy. He manages to go up, from this guy who he goes there. They end up finding, so what we find out is that the bad guys were after his father because he had the Phoenix Mirror, which is why they took a mirror, but it apparently wasn't the real mirror, which is why, you know, that other guy showed up. So they end up, he ends up managing to find it. Then that other guy, whose name, I don't know if we know his name, but shows up again and tries to steal it, but they stop him. And then he's like, we're going, and then they find out that the guy behind that bad guy or whatever is in Hong Kong or whatever. So they decide, so he says, I want to go to Hong Kong. And that's basically where the episode ends, with him saying, I want to go, and the other guy's like saying, no, it will be dangerous for you to enter into our business. He's like, no, I want to go any way. So, yeah.
Yeah, the funny thing is that usually the first show is the one I remember the most. But in this case, the show was so forgettable that it's the one I remember the least. So, yeah, I don't really have much to say about it. It hasn't really caught my eye. I know I'm cynical, but I'm not that cynical. Like, if this was actually good so far, I think I'd be paying more attention. But right now, yeah, just not all that much to say.
Yeah, I had trouble remembering also. I looked it up and thankfully found like a brief synopsis. And I'm thinking, okay, now everything's coming back to me. But before that, this was the one that I also remembered the least of.
It's all coming back to me now.
Okay. We've gotten that. Then we move on to Attack on Titan episode 77. So Aaron is still fighting against the other Titan guys. Zeke, the Beast Titan, shows up and he's like, come on, Aaron, come to me, because if we together we'll be able to activate the thingamo whatever to do the thing. they need to do the thing at the place at the time to accomplish the goal. Anyway, so Aaron's like trying to get to Zeke, and for some reason Zeke doesn't just jump down from the top of the wall and go up to Aaron himself. Like, he's just standing there and thinking, your plan is requires you to like grab each other. Why aren't you going towards him? Why are you just standing there? Let's see. Meanwhile, they end. Well, I mean, I guess he does fall. He goes down anyway after they shoot Zeke, which might make it easier for Aaron to get to him. Then we get some stuff with Gabby and Falco running around and hiding and stuff. And I think Falco says he's in love with her. And I'm like, okay, that was something.
Yeah, kind of forced. But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and then because you were asking how old is she, so I looked it up and she's 12 apparently. I didn't look up Falco actually, but I assume he's the same age. So.
Yeah, it was that they're to get engaged. It wasn't just like boyfriend girlfriend. It's like they're getting engaged.
Yeah, that's. Let me actually just double check. I should have checked this again. But Falco was. Where's. Oh, come on. Does it not have. Does it not list his age here? Let's see. Come on. It's not listed at the start of the thing. I guess I don't think we know his age, actually. So, it doesn't list it on the Attack on Titan wiki, at least. It listed it for Gabby, but I'd assume that he's the same age. So, yeah. So, yeah, that was Attack on Titan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not much to add on that. I think you did a pretty good job with that.
Yeah, it was mostly just an action episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the action was decent enough, although it's a matter of the fact where, because they just jumped back into this midway through the plot without any recap or anything, I'm like trying to think, okay, what are they actually, what's going on? Why are they trying to get to each other? Was there a plan or something? My mind is this big jumble.
Yeah.
All right. So, got that. We've got Assassination Classroom, episode 31. So it's time. They have to decide on what they want their future careers to be or whatever. It's like their career day at the school. And Nagisa's like, I think, and, well, okay, I'm going to be borrowing, well, no, I'll let you make the joke when we get to it. I know the one you want to make, but so Nagisa says he wants to be an assassin. Kura-sensei's like, well, maybe, just think about it. Then it turns out his mother is completely insane. as not just like the one where she's like, I want you to like get out of the class E so you can be in a higher class to get to a better high school or whatever. Cause in Japan, you actually apply to high schools. And then when Kuro-sensei tries to talk her out of it, she gets all angry and then decides I'm going to burn down the building that they have the classes in, but ends up getting attacked by someone who's after Kuro-sensei, but then everything, you know, that gets all resolved and stuff, and then she's like, well, I guess it's okay. It's just her deciding, I've always heard that she's going to burn, like, that place down. I'm just thinking, okay, it's a quote I like to use because I just think it's funny, but this is kind of the perfect case to just say, that escalated quickly. And yeah, that's and Nagisa says, maybe I won't become an assassin. And that was our episode.
Yeah, the problem is for Nagisa, he wants to become an assassin, but he hasn't killed anybody. So, I mean, he's going to be a terrible assassin because he's never, to anyone's knowledge, actually killed someone. Though, for the record, you could make the same argument about Killua, because supposedly he's this big-time assassin, and you never see him kill a single person either.
You saw him kill that prisoner when they were during the entrance exam. He when they were going up against, you know, the people in like the convicted criminals and stuff, and he went.
You're right. And that was the rule that they couldn't break, right?
No. He could. There was another person he killed later, but you said on screen. On screen, he killed that guy by just like ripping his heart out. Later on in the exam, when they had the sort of weird sort of elimination one, you know, the one where there's only one person who ends up not becoming the hunter. Killua, I can't remember exactly why. I don't think it was explained that well. He just goes to one of the other contestants and kills them for some reason. And then that disqualifies him, so everyone else becomes hunters. So that also happened, but that was off screen. I don't remember him killing anyone after that, though.
Yeah. So you are right that he did kill a couple people, but I just don't understand how you can be a good assassin without actually assassinating anyone. And to think of assassin as like a job, like, you know, I mean, it's like, I want to be a guy who steals people's cars. You know, I don't understand what kind of high school would say, okay, you can start studying to become a better person at murdering other people. It just doesn't sound right. And I don't get it. But again, so much of this show requires you to turn off your brain and like just go along with it because it doesn't make sense, and it's just kind of just trying to tell you a story without you actually you know what I mean.
Yeah, the whole, it does have a sort of weird view of assassins, as in, I mean, I guess you can like say, well, someone's a good assassin because they only kill the bad people or whatever, but it's just sort of like you get that job, but then who... It does seem like you wouldn't would you even be an assassin because you would be working for someone. I would assume that you wouldn't just strictly be that. Like maybe you'd be a spy who also kills people or whatever. But well, I don't know. Maybe there are like a bunch of actual for hire assassins. It's mm-hmm. not something I've put that much into it. Although you want to be careful. Actually, I saw this on this news program. It was kind of interesting. A bunch of people who, well, you probably shouldn't be hiring someone to kill or assassinate someone anyway. But I did. But if you are, you should be a little careful because I was watching this thing about how they have like, you know, FBI agents and stuff, and they literally go undercover pretending to be hitmen and stuff so that when someone tries to hire a hitman, they'll hire them and then they'll be able to catch them. So yeah, there was that thing, and that was a little interesting the way you catch people by posing as hitmen.
That's how they catch prostitutes.
Well, yeah, that was a little interesting. And in regards to this, yeah, I think you kind of covered it. It's a weird show because you just kind of have to accept it as mostly comedic. If you just accept it as a comedy, with like, you know, some serious elements, but mostly a comedy, then it usually works the best.
Oh yeah, I forgot that I made my prediction about what is going to happen at the end of this show, so I might as well do it on the air now so I can be held to you know, if I get it wrong, then there's evidence that I got it wrong and I can't lie about it. So basically, what I think's going to happen is that, what did I think was going to happen? Basically that there's going to be some other bad guy who's worse than Kuro-sensei, and like they have to fight him, and then Kuro-sensei has to fight them, save the kids, and he ends up dying. You know, one of those deaths that takes about 10 episodes. So, yeah, that's kind of what I'm predicting. I don't have anything set in stone, but, like, I really think it's going to be that there's going to be some worse enemy than Kuro-sensei, so he's never going to get the chance to destroy the world because, maybe not because, but he ends up dying. So that's my prediction. I'm sticking to it. And if I'm wrong, then you can come back to this episode and prove that I was wrong.
Okay. All right. So that's your prediction then. I can't give a prediction because while I haven't been fully spoiled on the show, I've been spoiled on enough to say that I could actually say whether that was right or wrong. So I won't. It's a good thing that when we record this, we do it by audio only so that you won't ever so you don't get to see any facial reactions. We used to try doing this via video, but it just kept giving us all this annoying lag. So we stopped and just twitched it to audio.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's Assassination Classroom. Then we move to Made in Abyss episode 6. So they make it to the Seeker camp. They meet what's her name? Ozen was her name, who was actually the person who carried Riko, like, to the surface after that whole thing where her mother, where Riko's mother, like, brought her down or something. I can't remember the specifics of it. So, then they just kind of spend the episode at the camp. And, I guess they're just hanging out until they go, lower again. Riko ends up going to the, she ends up encountering this sort of monster thing at night. And then she's saying, so what was that monster thing that I met? And Ozen's like, well, I will show you or whatever. And brings them to a room that has like some kind of box thing in it. Like some mm-hmm. kind of cube. I'm a little unsure about what that was. I think I saw someone say that it's supposed to be like the curse repelling vessel thing that allows you to return to the surface with it or something. But yeah, that was the episode.
Yeah. This was the one where I told you that what was her name again?
The woman who is there, Ozen.
Ozen, yeah, that's it. That she had the same voice actress as Death from Akame ga Kill, and that kind of made a connection in my mind. So, very similar voice there, and I don't know, it's getting a little more interesting. It's just not getting interesting fast enough for my liking. Mm. I want to get going quicker on this, especially if I don't know how long the season is or anything, but I want more to happen.
Oh, I was just looking her up, the voice actress, who I didn't recognize as Ezdeath because it's been so long since I saw Akame ga Kill, I could not even tell you what Ezdeath sounded like. She is someone in Shenmue, actually, except I have no idea who this character or characters is. It's these are like Chinese names, so I might be mispronouncing them. Ziu Ying Hong / Li Xiao Tao. I have no idea if we have seen these characters yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is a statement of them being maybe they might have said, this is coming from a part where it's saying it looks like that information came from like a preview thing that's like listed to cast. So we probably haven't met these characters yet.
Mm-hmm.
Series does seem to have a propensity for wanting to get the kids not wearing anything. I've noticed. There's nothing explicit, at least in the anime. But I'm like, oh yeah, sure. We needed to have her take a bath, and we needed to make sure that we like saw yes, she is taking a shower or a bath or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It's better. This was the most interesting episode so far. I don't know if it's getting better enough.
Yeah. Same sort of problem I have with it.
But, I mean, I'll always give a series credit if it's getting better. Even if it's not necessarily good yet, I've still always got at least some interest in a series if it's at least improving. Now, if it decides mm-hmm. to go back to being not so interesting, I'm going to be like, oh, well, never mind then. But improving is always a point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we've got One Piece episodes 525 to 526. So they I'm trying to remember where, because I'm mixing it up with last week's. So they fight the Kraken thing, and then but end up getting separated because the three were dumb and didn't have the like ropes attached to them when they ran off. So they end up getting separated. They spend a bunch of time trying to find like Luffy, Zoro, and Sanji. They end up managing to find them, though. It turns out that Luffy managed to tame the Kraken, so it's on their side, which, and he names it Tsurume. Maybe that means something in Japanese.
Yeah, does that mean anything?
I have no idea. Let me look that up. In the meantime, they end up running up against a pirate ship, the Flying Dutchman, where, you know, I could probably make a SpongeBob joke, but I can't really remember much about the character of the Flying Dutchman thing on that show. But there's, anyway, but then they end up not really fighting because of the fact that they end up with a bunch of, like, lava geysers or whatever those were and end up having to run away a bunch. And to make a long story short, they managed to make it to the Fishman Village place, it seems. Okay. I'm checking up on Tsurume. In the meantime, did you have anything you wanted to say?
Let's see. Just that One Piece wasn't as interesting this week as it has been so far this season.
Okay. All right, I found it. According to the One Piece Wiki, Tsurume means dried shredded squid. Okay. Yeah, it was not as interesting as the one before, because when you get down to it, the episode was just kind of, well, they get separated. Oh, they get back together again. Oh, they encounter this random obstacle and they have to deal with it. And now they're actually at the place where they were trying to get to.
Yes.
So we've gotten there, and now I guess they've actually made it to the place they were trying to get to, or maybe this isn't a place, but I can't. They made it to some place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. That is the Toonami stuff we have. So we'll move on to Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo episode 10. So a giant, so this big monster guy shows up and managed to defeat the bad guy they were actually fighting, and mentions that he's after Gasser because he wants his Fist of the Back Wind power. Their attempts to fight keep getting interrupted by Bobobo and Don Patch being acting stupid, including what I'll get to that anyway. Finally, Bobo ends up attacking, using his nose hairs, and the bad guy like was thinking, wait, he can use Fist of the Nose Hair? I thought only our leader could do it, and just decides to leave, so he, leaves through a taxi. They all just leave, blow up the base, and Gasser's on with them, apparently joining them now, I guess. Yep. So in regards to this episode, well, this had possibly one of the most craziest parts in the whole series, with that whole honk, 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 smells good segment.
Yeah, could you explain that to me?
Part of it is just the fact that Don Patch and Bobobo are insane, but what they were trying to do with Bobo dressing up as Gasser and Don Patch as like the Wall Man was apparently supposed to be kind of making the point of how his gas attacks aren't strong enough to defeat Wall Man. That's why Bo was like going honk 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 honk, as if using that, and then Don Patch is like smells good. I think that's what it's supposed to be, but mostly it's just really, really crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that part was a little cringeworthy for me. I was like, oh, what am I watching,
I'll at least say they at least go for broke with it, because they're doing it, then, like, the squirrel characters start doing it, then those, like, that I can't remember if we even know their names, but those two, like, those two people that apparently live in Bobo's nose or something start doing it, and then they just keep doing it, and it's just complete. It's one, possibly the single most random thing in, it's one of the most random things in the whole series.
Okay.
Yeah. But. Yeah, so that was the episode. There were some funny bits in it, but I'm still kind of waiting for the series to start getting to the part where I started really liking it when I originally watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then we got Ascendance of a Bookworm, episode 8. So in this one, they end up managing to get the paper stuff ready. We also get a kind of a bit of a lore dump when we find out about the what was it called? Like the trees that like grow super fast and take over place and take the nutrients, so they have to kill it right away. I can't remember its name, but there's something about that. Anyway, so Lutz finally like really confronts Mine about the fact that, well, she's not really Mine, except for some reason, rather than just go right ahead and explain the simple situation of what happens, she acts all like weirdly sinister about it for a while when giving the explanation, until finally actually saying, oh, well, okay, so fine, I was from another world and I just woke up as Mine one day. We do indicate that presumably Mine must have, what apparently happened was Mine just straight up died from the fever, and then she somehow just took over her body somehow. I mean, I guess we got that now, although it's just kind of weird that she's just suddenly knows this, and I'm like, oh, I mean, like, maybe it's just an educated guess, but that's kind of sudden. Anyway, but they do that, and the paper that they make is judged as really good, and that's our episode.
Yeah, this one had me questioning again why everyone is so big on this. So I like the whole thing where we finally find out, okay, she's not really Mine, and someone knows it, which that's good. Okay, that's good. But my problem is that it's just taking forever. If it's supposed to be about becoming a librarian, you think it would be a little faster in getting to, you know, the bookmaking process. You know, I'm sorry, I got a headache. I'm having a hard time thinking. Yeah, my head is really hurting. Well, it's just going too slow. That's basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it is definitely. It's a fairly saying, yeah, it is a slow series. You know, I remember seeing some people complain that Dr. Stone, the inventions, they just went too fast with it. And I'm thinking, yeah, this show seems kind of a rebuttal to that point. Because now we're seeing this, and it makes me think, yeah, I'm kind of glad they kind of went through the invention stuff fast, because this is too slow. If it was Senku who got reincarnated or something, we might be up to like airplanes by now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's this was a better episode because we're seeing progress made. They got the paper made, someone knows about her, we get kind of an explanation of what happened. I mean, we don't know exactly how she ended up in this alternate world after dying, but I wonder how many isekai series actually give explanations for that in the end, because I'm thinking, I'm wondering, I mean, The ones I'm thinking of, we tended to know a bunch. Like Konosuba gave explicit explanation. You know, he wasn't really reincarnated. He was just kind of transported there after dying. And we still don't know the specifics about ReZero yet. But yeah, it is a little, I guess, thinking about it in general, there usually is some explanation. And we haven't really gotten one yet, but maybe we'll get it later. I guess I might as well ask about it because, like, I mean, I guess this episode was a step up. So, you know, maybe this is a start of an improvement. But how much longer do you want to, if we're not necessarily enjoying it, how far do you want to go before deciding, this show is not so great. Maybe we'll move on to something else. Do you want to at least, like, I assume you want to at least get to the end of the season?
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, this season's got, I think, 14 episodes, so, you know, around the typical thing. So, you know, that's 6 more episodes. Even, and if we decide we just want to quit it anyway, that wouldn't be the worst time anyway. So, yeah, honestly, that seems like a good number anyway in general for trying to give one of these shows. Give it maybe 13 episodes, at least for, like, the podcast or whatever, because we're kind of investing it more. It's more of an investment than if we just randomly check a show out ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I want to give it a chance. Some shows take a while to get better. It's like Black Clover took a few dozen episodes to get good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see where it continues now that we seem to actually be getting some stuff. All right, so after that, we've got Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works. We did kind of decide between episodes that we're probably going to be going with 2 episodes of this show now. So if you only watched 1 episode, you might want to pause this and watch the next episode. And watch episode 8 so that we don't go ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have that. So we've got episode 7, 8. I'll probably cover these together. So we've gotten, So Saber is fighting Assassin, while Archer is fighting Caster. Archer ends up beating Caster, but lets her go on the rationale that Caster, at least, is apparent, even when she's, like, draining life from people, that might give her the power necessary to take out Berserker, which Shiro gets really upset with Archer about. So Archer decides to pick the do the rational thing and just slash his back and leave him. You saw how much blood he lost. How is he alive?
Ichigo lost more blood than that, though.
Yeah, but that was when, like, he was a Soul Reaper, so, you know, actually, how do those work? They've got blood, we see them bleed, but they don't have physical bodies, right? So, how do they have, okay, I shouldn't even be trying to put thought into, like, the way the Bleach universe works. That's just a path to madness. Meanwhile, Archer and Assassin end up calling it a draw. Honestly, Assassin basically just seems to be Lancer from Fate Zero.
Like, from Fate? Yeah, you're right.
So everyone just kind of leaves after that. Next episode, Shiro's been trying to learn some sword stuff from Saber. Rin ends up talking to him and telling him that, yeah, she was really annoyed with Archer trying to kill him. So she used one of her command seals to say that he couldn't do that as long as a truce lasts. They're talking about how they find out Shinji's, like, one of the masters. Well, Shiro already knew that, but Rin found it out. It's not either he or someone else. It's kind of ambiguous. Sets up the, like, barrier around the school, so Shiro is able to bring in Saber via the command seal, but Rin can't get Archer. Then someone apparently cast her. Okay, so Shinji's one, like, is Ryder, who we saw before. But to make the short run of it, what ends up happening is that Ryder is apparently killed by, I assume we're supposed to believe it was Caster because we see her and she leaves, but maybe it is someone else. And Shinji denies being the one to set up the barrier and that it was someone else. And then he just kind of, I guess he's out of the thing because Ryder died. And then we end up at, and then all that stuff gets resolved, I guess. Oh, yeah, all like the students got knocked unconscious, but they're better now.
Yeah, isn't that always the convenient thing? I mean, going back to Bleach, remember you had the fake Karakura town and all the students got knocked unconscious? Everyone in town was just kind of out of it for a while, which sucked because a couple of them, like Totsuki and Karin, both had the ability to at least somewhat see ghosts, but that always seems to be the, like, whenever it happened, I'm like, okay, they're unconscious, they're not dead. Like, I knew it immediately, just as I knew something on Amazing Race this week immediately, and my family was so surprised whenever I called it. But I love these two episodes, and I think I like the second one a bit better because it had Tosaka have a better, bigger role in it. But both episodes were great, and I'm even more interested in this show than I was coming into these two episodes. So now I'm like really excited about it. So I have to make sure, though, that I watch it at the right time because if I watch it too soon, then I may forget it for next week. But if I wait too long, then I might feel too much pressure to squeeze it in. So I'll try to figure out a good time to watch it this week, so I can continue to enjoy it as much as I have.
I thought you were going to say what's always been on my mind, which is a matter of, I want to make sure I don't do this too soon, too far ahead of the podcast, or else I'm going to be thinking, man, now I got to wait until we do the podcast before I can watch more episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one, I was very surprised to see how that writer just got taken out this early. I mean, I guess it's possible she's going to, like, come back or something, but it seemed pretty final to me. Mm-hmm. I think because, of course, the game has three routes, it's my understanding she has a bigger role in the other ones. So I think this is just a route where she got taken out really fast and we didn't, at least in this series, we didn't even find out who she was.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I assume it was given in the original series. Do you want me to just tell you if, or maybe you remember?
Go ahead.
Oh, she's apparently Medusa.
Mm.
Yeah, I think, yeah, she had a bigger role in the original anime, and I think in the Heaven's Feel movies, the adaptation of the third and final route of the game, I think she gets the most, she gets a lot more attention there. Kind of like how in the original Full Metal Alchemist anime, Lust was like super important and stuff. And then in Brotherhood, she was the first one who, the first of the homunculus who got killed and then was basically forgotten. So yeah, that took me by surprise. Let's see. Was there anything else I wanted to mention? Yeah, I guess there's that. I would point, I will say that in the first episode, Shiro did kind of annoy me with him being kind of dumb Although then Archer was kind of a jerk to him back, you know. Shiro's dumb and annoying. Archer tries to kill him, so I guess he's more of a jerk than Shiro is being annoying. But
yeah, I just wish he didn't have Kirito's voice actor, because now I think Kirito every time he opens his mouth. So
really, I the one that I connect him more with is Aaron, although Aaron's voice is different now that he's older, so I guess that's a little less noticeable in regards to that. Okay. So yeah, other than that, I guess the last comment is to mention yet again, like, this series, the fights have very good animation. I wanted to mention that again. That's not something I usually notice much, but I did notice it here. So I guess this is where all the tax evasion money went, because like the CEO of like the studio that made this later got arrested for tax fraud. He probably wasn't actually putting the money into the budget, but yeah. So. Yep, that's it. I guess my last thing is, I am still kind of disappointed that we got so little out of Ryder. It just seemed like she was just kind of there and then was gone. But after this is done, we'll probably at some point watch the Heavens Feel movies. Because like I said, I know she gets more focused there, so.
Yeah, I actually have a Blu-ray of the Unlimited Blade Works movie. The reason I got that was because I stupidly thought it was the TV series. And then whenever I looked at it, I'm like, time, 120 minutes or whatever. And I'm like, that isn't a soul series. And I was like, crap. So I want to eventually watch that I'm assuming it just tells the story of this season, but all in one movie. So that'll be interesting to see after we finish. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure where the movie is available. I'm not seeing it on Funimation or Crunchyroll. It's probably on Netflix. I know the Heavens Feel movies are on Netflix. I don't know if there's available in any other streaming service, but yeah, I have mostly heard negative things about the movie. People say that, I mean, look, this series, Unlimited Blade Works, is what, like 25 episodes or something? And you look at the amount of time, all that, and then you compare it to the length of one movie, and you're like, yeah, there must have been a ton of stuff they had to cut out or rush through.
Yeah.
That's why when they did the Heavens Feel movies, that was a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I might actually want to watch it. It's just one movie, but I have heard a lot of people say that, like, yeah, it's basically a strict downgrade from the TV series, which came later.
Right.
Okay. All right. So that is our anime discussion stuff. sorry, just had to clear my throat. I guess we can get into our top threes lists. For me, it would be, well, the first is pretty simple. It's going to be Fates Day Night Unlimited Blade Works. And for second place, I think I would put Assassination Classroom, and then One Piece for third.
Okay, so for me, well, you know how in the Olympics sometimes you have two people from the same country compete and they both win medals. Well, see, that's what I'm going to do this week, because I love Fates Day Night so much that I'm giving it first and second place for its two episodes. So first place will be the second episode we watched, and second place will be the first episode we watched. And then the bronze medal will go to Made in Abyss, mainly because I had flashbacks of Ezdeath and how much I loved their character. And whenever I wrote a fanfic, I wasn't able to capture as that as good as he was in the anime. But yeah, so Fate Stay Night gets the top two spots, and Made in Abyss gets the third one.
Okay. Yeah, we've gotten that. Let's see. Before anything else manga or anime related to mention, I guess I might as well mention, I mean, this is several weeks old, I suppose, but I might as well throw it out there. I mentioned how Fire Force just ended. This has nothing to do with Toonami or really anime, because it doesn't have an anime and probably won't get one, but this one manga series I was a big fan of called Magu-chan, God of Destruction, that's M-A-G-U. Yeah, that ended. It had 77 chapters. It was this fun comedy series about basically this Cthulhu monster who got sealed away, but then he managed to get released, but now he's like this really small, weak thing, and he ends up living with this girl, and it's just a really funny comedy series. It has some pretty good emotion in it at times, and it managed to actually pull off a pretty a surprisingly strong ending. So yeah, I don't know, just wanted to toss that out in case anyone's interested. It's the full series, it's on Viz's subscription service if you want. I think the first three chapters are available for free, so you can always just look at those, and that could probably give you an indication of whether it's a series you'd want or not. Speaking of which, Viz, in the off chance anyone is listening, will you just give iShield 21 a digital release already? So yeah, that was just my quick spiel. Felt like I might as well mention it because I was talking about Fire Force ending. Okay, so that's it for the anime stuff. Now we'll move on to The Amazing Race, episode 8. I've realized, though, I've been saying the episode names, but I counted the first two episodes as one episode because they aired on the same day, so my episode numbers are actually off, but forget it. I'm just going to keep going with the numbering system I included. Okay. So, well, I guess we can move. We can discuss that now. There anything you said? There's something you wanted to talk about.
About what?
Oh well, you were saying that there's something that was obvious, and you called it. And
oh yeah, that it was a non-elimination. Like I said that very. I was like, okay, so they're not going to let them get eliminated on. Something as stupid as finding the right rock. So I'm like, this is going to be a non-elimination leg. And I was right. And which is a shame because my least favorite team finished in last. And I was hoping they'd go home. But I knew the whole time that they weren't going home. It was kind of obvious. So it felt to me like trying to find the right stone, that's just so random, you know. It's really not fair, but then again, they last season they did that King's Cake thing where you had to find a little thing inside all these cakes, and that was even more random than this was, because of this one I kept yelling at the screen, just look at the ones that the other people found and look for stones similar to those ones instead of just randomly selecting stones. Look at the ones the other people found and try to find out the ones that look like those, you know. So yeah, that was kind of random, and then breaking plates, like no one even did the other challenge. That's pretty funny. They had a chance, they had a choice, and no one even chose to do the carrying the plates. Everyone chose to do the smashing of plates, which again was like just random luck and had nothing to do with any skills. So obviously it had to be a non-elimination leg. And so whenever I called it, everyone's like, oh, you got it. And I'm like, yeah, that was easy to tell.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say it was complete. It was there was randomness to it, but there also was like the if you are able to plan it out properly, I think you can like do the right kinds of searching and increase your odds of it. Although it's obviously hard to manage to do that, especially when other people are there. I would have liked to have seen how long the other task might take comparatively, because you had to get, what was it, they said 300 plates taken across this thing, and I was wondering, well, would that take a long time, or how long? I didn't know that. But it being a non-elimination leg, yeah, that was... when you have these sort of... The ones that they usually have at least one leg with this sort of challenge, like the really long, kind of tedious one where you just have to look over through a bunch of stuff. And when they do that, they normally have it be a non-elimination leg, mm-hmm. like this one. I wasn't calling it that early, but I called it the very instance when Ryan and Dusty get there and they're kind of like all depressed and Phil doesn't. Like, say, like, you are the last team to arrive. If he doesn't immediately say you have been eliminated, then you're not eliminated. As mm-hmm. soon as he said anything other than that and started talking to them, I was 100%, I knew, okay, it's non-elimination. He would have absolutely said that. He always says it right away if it's an actual elimination. Yeah. What must have been really boring was the person who was like, you know, playing the who was like, you know, sitting on that throne or whatever, and was like watching it. Like, you just had to like just stay there and occasionally say, I can't remember what her line was, but whatever it was. And I'm like, man, that must be really boring. Is she like just surfing the web on her iPhone when the camera's not on her? The other funny thing was a part where one of them, I can't remember her, I can like, Ryan and Dusty is like the only, team person I can actually remember the name of for some, both of there, but, when one of them's like, say, actually talking about, man, some of us are just going to be totally overlooking it. And then when it airs on the broadcast, it'll do that thing where the camera highlights where we missed it. It'll play that noise. And then you see it and the camera's doing that while she says it.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
And this episode did show me one. I've mentioned a few times, you know, there's a list of things that you should always be, you should be prepared for before going on the race. Like, know how to operate a stick shift. Get over any fears of heights you have. That sort of thing. Well, this one gave me a new one because some of them were having trouble finding stuff because everything was in Greek. Here's what you need to do. Learn, like, try to memorize alphabets of other languages. You don't have to learn the language, just learn the alphabet. Because if you knew Greek, then you can just like look at it and say, okay, the word says this. This is how you say the word. I recognize it. So you would at least be able to find like place names. Mm-hmm. So that would be something to do. So make sure, I don't know, you know, the Greek alphabet, Russian alphabet, the Arabic alphabet. Those are the major alphabets I can think of that are in use. The Japanese alphabet might be good also, but most of their writing stuff is in kanji, and that's much harder to learn all of. Mm-hmm. Okay, did I have anything else to say? No, I think that's it. Also, I mentioned before about how they weren't showing speed bumps. I think they've just eliminated them, because they don't mention them in the... It seems like what the penalty is that you just get on the plane that leaves later than the rest.
Yeah. I mean, we do know there were speed bumps earlier in the show, but They're probably not doing them anymore.
Yeah, I think they probably had those just before, like they had those planned before the hiatus. And then when they like came up with the new way they have to do everything, you know, with everyone getting on the chartered flights instead of getting on like their own ones, they just said, okay, we'll just have them leave later than everyone else, and that will be the penalty. Okay. All right, so that's it for the Amazing Race. And oh, there's one other thing I wanted to mention. The product placement at the start was kind of funny to watch for Travelocity. Where Phil's just saying, and you'll be able to book you'll be booking for the hotels with Travelocity. And you see teams go, ah, so here's a Travelocity app. This is very convenient.
Yeah, that was very awkward to watch.
I remember back in the day when the product placement was just, you know, them having to carry the Travelocity gnome around in a leg. This sort of thing is very blatant. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's that. We'll have the finale of the season of The Amazing Race next week. I think it's a 2-hour episode. Mm-hmm. So we'll be to cover that, and along with the anime stuff we've been watching, and we'll see you for that next week.
Aren't you going to do your reviews of stuff?
Oh, you mean like all the anime stuff I was watching? I already went through all of
you're finished with it last week.
Yeah, I'm finished. I mean, there's a few I'm still watching, but I don't necessarily have that much to say about like the individual episodes. I was just trying to go through like each show that I watched and what I thought were them. And I'm done with that. Maybe when the season's over, I'll talk some about the ones that made it to the end again. But I've gone through that spiel. All right, so with that done, we'll see you next time.
Bye.